Good morning, everybody. It's Marie here. I'm actually speaking 12 days ago. It's the 11th of August today, and it's sweltering hot. I hope that we're having a good morning this morning, and that everybody is well, and that we've all felt uplifted by the 24 hours of prayer that's just completed. Particularly if you did a slot in the middle of the night or the early hours of this morning, and maybe finding it a bit hard to stay awake. I'm hoping that this message will encourage you and won't send you to sleep. Anyway, today's message is called Great Expectations or Pride and Prejudice. And it's based on Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, which I'm now going to read to you. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" Then they took offence at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives and in his own house is a prophet without honour. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed by their lack of faith." Think about how excited you get about a forthcoming event, maybe a holiday, a meal at an acclaimed restaurant, perhaps meeting up with loved ones who you haven't seen for ages. We get excited because we have expectations about what it will be like. We have a plan or an agenda in our minds of how it's likely to go. But sometimes things don't fit in with our expectations. Things don't go to plan, and we are let down or disappointed. Sometimes we're even shocked. When I heard that we were going to be studying Mark this summer, I too was excited, hoping that my designated passage would be about a great miracle. After all, Mark is so full of them, more than any of the other Gospels, despite being the shortest of the four. When I first read the beginning of chapter 6, I must admit that I was somewhat disappointed. This seemed a really negative thing to talk about, and I like to try to be positive wherever I can. In this passage, we hear about how Jesus went to his hometown, presumably Nazareth, after being in the surrounding area and having performed many miracles as he went. News about him was getting out, his reputation was growing, and people were clamouring to see and hear him. Huge crowds were gathering, and people were putting their faith in him as well as being amazed by his miracles. And then he goes home, taking his disciples with him. And initially, those who heard him preaching in the synagogue were amazed, just like those before them. But then something different happened. Mark says that many began to be offended by him and did not put their faith in him, despite him sharing the same message of God's love and redemption for them as he had in other places. How much of their offence and their change of heart was because his teaching did not fit in with their expectations, their preconceived ideas, both about who he was — they thought he was just the local carpenter, Mary and Joseph's boy — and what he was saying. Just as Ivan shared with us a couple of weeks ago, some people opposed him because they weren't prepared to change their thinking or their actions, or even acknowledge that they needed to change. All they wanted were the results of faith, the miracles, without having faith in him, accepting and employing his teaching. They were like old wineskins that he had spoken about earlier in chapter 2, tough and inflexible, and not able to take on board his new message. Those people in Nazareth missed out on receiving God at this point. Maybe forever, we don't know, because of their prejudices, their prejudgments and their pride, and difficulties acknowledging that they might need to change their thinking. So, for us as receivers of the message of God, what can we learn from this passage? Firstly, to be aware of our own views, judgments and expectations, both of people and situations. It would be good if we could get into the habit of regularly asking God to point these out to us. For example, our acts of the sinful nature, such as jealousy, self-ambition and hatred, and to replace these characteristics with fruits such as gentleness, kindness, patience, love and self-control. To ask God to help us to be open-minded and flexible like children or new wineskins. When we had our first 24-hour prayer event in June, I felt God was reminding me as I walked down the country lanes to look up and be surprised and widen my understanding. This actually happened when I was surprised to see cherries growing in the trees above me. I hadn't been expecting cherries. We need to be ready to change. Secondly, this passage reminded me that we need to really listen to what God is saying to us. And that listening is very different to hearing. Listening is the processing of the heard information. We need to ponder on the messages we receive, maybe through things we see or experience in different ways, as well as those we hear, and pray for the Holy Spirit to help us to apply what we have received into our own lives. Thirdly, we need to have great expectations of what Jesus will provide for us. But remember that our faith releases these gifts. We have a part to play in our expectations being realised. And as senders of the message, as we often are when we interact with those around us, what does this passage teach us? Well, firstly, to pray for open hearts and flexible thinking before we're in a situation, especially when we are with people who know us well. We are told in chapter 12 of Mark to love our neighbours as ourselves. Although Jesus meant love others, he wasn't excluding those that we know best. Secondly, we should remember that not all who hear the message of Jesus will accept it. Remember the parable of the seeds. Not all will grow into fruition, even those who met Jesus himself. Thirdly, we need to be aware of any issues of human pride that we bring with us. Proverbs 13 verse 10 says, "Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice." We should remember Jesus' humility and servant-like nature, and also his humanity and his compassion. He walked where we walk and can share in any disappointments that we have. Actually, straight after today's passage, we see Jesus sending out the disciples in pairs to strengthen, encourage, but also to check each other. Fourthly, I think this is reminding us that we need to persevere, to keep running the race, to expect some opposition or seeming failure, but not to be deterred by it. Jesus didn't give up after this Nazareth knockback. We don't know the impact of our words and actions at some point in the future. Fifthly, this section is embedded in recounts of acts of faith and compassion. For example, the healing of the bleeding woman and the bringing back to life of Jairus' daughter. Also, the disciples being told to take nothing except their staffs with them on their ongoing journeys. We are reminded that we must have faith and compassion as vital foundations for when we tell others about Jesus. I'd like to finish today with a prayer for us all. Dear Father, thank you that you keep on giving us new opportunities to get things right. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who helps our hearts and minds to be open to new ideas and challenges from you, and helps us to challenge our own prejudices and human pride. Dear Lord, please give us wisdom individually and collectively to weigh up information and to clearly see what fits in with your will, your love, your character of compassion. Help us to love you and to love our neighbours as ourselves, and to show this love through our words and actions. And finally, Lord, let us not be downhearted. Help us keep running your race so that we may claim your prize of an eternity with you. Amen. And just before I go, I want to remind you there won't be a recorded Light of Life message next week on the 30th of August, but please tune in to another service, such as the YouTube broadcast from Park Baptist in Yarmouth, if you can. Our next recorded message on Sunday the 6th of September will be from our own minister. Elizabeth, welcome. Please tune in then. Anyway, it's time for me to sign off now. Stay safe. Bye.